Good day, KVNF listeners. This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, January 29th. I'm Brody Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. The Bureau of Land Management is moving closer to acquiring more than 4,000 acres of private ranch land within the Dominguez-Escalante National Conservation Area. The land includes miles along the Gunnison River and Escalante Creek and is currently owned by the Conservation Fund, which purchased it with the intent of transferring it to the Bureau of Land Management. Agency officials say they hope to close the deal early this year, using funding from the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund. Supporters say the acquisition would consolidate public lands, protect river corridors, and prevent the parcel from being sold off to multiple owners. The land includes water rights, irrigated fields, and wildlife habitat. Some local voices have raised concerns about losing private ranch land, tax base, and long-term control of water rights. Delta County officials say they prefer to keep the land in agricultural use, but view the acquisition as the next best option. The BLM says it plans to continue grazing and irrigation through future management plans. The story was first reported by the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, and you can read it at gjsentinel.com. And federal prosecutors are urging an appeals court to uphold the 15-year prison sentence of Montrose resident Shirley Koch, calling the punishment appropriate for her role in a long-running funeral home fraud scheme. Koch pleaded guilty to aiding and abetting mail fraud connected to Sunset Mesa Funeral Directors, where prosecutors say she helped mishandle human remains and return random cremains to families without their knowledge. Her attorneys argue the sentence is excessive, given her age and level of involvement, but the U.S. Attorney's Office says the harm to vulnerable victims justifies the term. That's all according to reporting from the Montrose Daily Press, which is also reporting on an issue from Colorado Parks and Wildlife, which is asking for public help after a bald eagle was shot near Crook Reservoir in North Glen on the Front Range. The bird was struck with a ball bearing, underwent surgery, and is recovering. Colorado Parks and Wildlife says shooting a bald eagle is a federal crime and urges anyone with information to contact Operation Game Thief. You can read more on both of those stories at montrosepress.com. And we reported on the controversy unfolding in Telluride over recent weeks in Tuesday's newscast, but there's been a major update in the Telluride and Mountain Village ski resort controversy. Telluride Mayor Pro Tem Meehan Fee, formerly on administrative leave, has resigned from the Telluride Town Council as both towns continue investigating a late December meeting with Telluride ski and golf owner Chuck Horning in California. Fee and former Mountain Village Mayor Marty Prochaska signed an offer to purchase a majority stake in the ski resort on behalf of unnamed investors. Both women have said they were acting as private citizens. But the written offer included language that raised alarms for local leaders. One section, labeled Exhibit B, said the buyers would cause the towns of Telluride and Mountain Village to take certain actions. That included steps tied to the ski patrol strike, water rates for snowmaking, workforce housing, and regional air service spending, issues that typically require council votes and a public process. You can see the full text of Exhibit B at kbnf.org. Prochaska resigned earlier this month, and both towns launched third-party reviews. Now, we're learning more about what Mountain Village leaders were saying behind closed doors. At a January 15th executive session, the town attorney instructed staff to stop recording because the discussion was attorney-client privileged and the council was going into executive session. But the meeting continued to be broadcast over Zoom, and someone was recording and later posted the recording publicly online. In that recording, town manager Paul Weiser says he knew Prochaska and Fee were traveling to California and that he connected them with people who had previously expressed interest in buying the ski resort. Weiser has now taken paid administrative leave while Mountain Village's investigation continues. The story is based on reporting by the Colorado Sun and KBNF's review of the offer to buy contract, as well as our review of the unintentionally recorded Mountain Village Town Council executive session. We'll keep you updated on this situation. Consumer affordability is top of the agenda for the Democratic lawmakers at the State House this year. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Democrats unveiled three proposals at the Capitol that aim to reduce costs for customers. One bill would ban so-called surveillance pricing when tech companies use consumers' personal online data to change prices they see on the internet. Another bill would try to make wholesale pricing more fair for small businesses. The third bill aims to make online pricing more transparent, and it would try to end price gouging for so-called captive consumers. Democratic Representative Yara Zokai of Fort Collins is a main sponsor.
Everyone has experienced the $20 beer at a Nuggets game, the $10 water at the airport, or the $80 Tylenol in the emergency room. When people are forced to pay more simply because they're trapped, that isn't a free market, it's exploitation.
House Republicans are vowing to oppose the agenda, calling it government overreach that will ultimately hurt consumers.
And preparations are beginning in Colorado to reintroduce another predator to the wild. Wolverines were once native to the state, but their population was wiped out here more than a century ago due to heavy trapping. As KDNK's Lily Jones reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, this effort to bring back the wolverine has the support of some prominent critics of the reintroduction of wolves.
A 2024 bipartisan bill introduced by then-Senator, current Garfield County Commissioner Perry Will, called for Colorado Parks and Wildlife to restore the large weasel to the state starting next year. On January 15th, CPW revealed the Colorado Wolverine Restoration Plan, the first step in a four-part process to bring Gulogulo luscus back to remote subalpine habitats across the Rockies. Here's Delia Malone, an ecologist with the Roaring Fork Audubon.
They're a big weasel that has been restricted because of us to high elevation habitats. And it's a big weasel that is very much endangered by climate change and by habitat loss and fragmentation. They're kind of scary looking because they are big. They're like a big pine marten, but pine martens are the cutest on the planet. These guys are just big. They're actually beautiful. Their fur is probably one of the things that got them into trouble.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife has a somewhat mixed record when it comes to reintroducing predators. Perhaps the agency's most famous success began in 1999 when the lynx returned to our boreal forests. Lynx were nearly non-existent here in the 70s due to trapping, predator poisoning, and massive habitat loss. Today, it's estimated that there are 200 lynx living in the San Juan Mountains. More recently, the gray wolf reintroduction project has attracted criticism from conservationists and ranchers alike. The first wolves were brought here in 2023, and while the project is ongoing, it's hit several bumps, including livestock depredation and one wolf being killed by a car. Currently, CPW has no plans for translocating additional wolves this release season, but is exploring options for the winter of 2026/27. Commissioner Perry Will is not a fan of the gray wolf reintroduction, calling it a failed program at a CPW meeting last June. However, Will was a primary sponsor of the wolverine reintroduction bill during his time in the Senate.
Part of my incentive for running that bill was to really show the governor and really the people of the state how to reintroduce a species the right way, not by ballot box biology.
We got Prop 114 in the wolves by ballot box, you know. And ballot box biology is the absolute worst way in the world to manage our wildlife resource in this state.
Will says his opposition to bringing back the wolves is largely due to their conflict potential with people and livestock.
I don't dislike wolves. I just don't think it's fair to the species because they will be in constant conflict. And, you know, we're such a populated state.
Wolverines are or were native to Colorado until they were wiped out in much the same way as the lynx through unregulated trapping and poisoning.
Back in, you know, the 1860s and so on, when we were moving west, they have this amazingly beautiful dark brown fur with this blonde lateral stripe. And so I'm guessing they ended up as a lot of women's coats.
The reintroduction plan addresses many of the same concerns that Coloradans had with gray wolves, such as livestock depredation and human infrastructure. Commissioner Will says that he expects very little in the way of conflict.
Oh, they'll be a lot less expensive. And wolverines, I just don't think there'll be any compensation. They depredate on livestock so rarely.
Wolverine releases will begin next year, primarily on the western slope in the Sasquatch Range, Elk Mountains, and West Elk Mountains. It is still unclear where CPW is planning to source the animals, but they will spend time recuperating after capture at a facility in Frisco.
Wolverine, just up here on McClure Pass, just up the Crystal River, historically were trapped up there. They will be coming home.
For KDNK News, I'm Lily Jones.
That's your KBNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, January 29th. You can also subscribe to the KBNF Regional Newscast on Spotify and YouTube by searching for KBNF Regional Newscast there. I'm Brody Wilson.